introduce myself. My name is Richard Smith. I'm from the U.S. and the state of Oklahoma, which is in the very center of the United States. Not the East Coast, not the West Coast, not North, South. It's right in the very center. And I have been an electrical engineer for the past 32 years. Before that, I was in the United States Air Force for 6 years. And I became a Christian while I was in the Air Force 44 years ago. And this illustration is something that was important to me as a new Christian, and it has been important to me for the past 44 years. It's one of my favorite illustrations. And so I'm here with Grace Community International, or GCI, and it's a parachurch mission organization. We do not start churches, we do not hire staff, we just simply come here to serve. We don't ask for offerings. So we have been here in Uwundi 1 week today, and in other churches. So let me pray and we will start. Dear God, this is your church. These are your people. And we open your word that you would speak to us. Your word is perfect, it is holy, it is true, and it convicts. It is strong and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. May your word pierce our hearts and minds and bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold in these young men here. And I thank you for each one of them. I thank you for this day. You've given us the beautiful day. And so we give this time to you and pray that by your Spirit you would teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, not that I will remember them, but maybe just go around briefly. Tell me your name.
Okay, I'm called Bryn.
Bryn?
Okay. I'm Jalon Roger.
Okay.
Okay,
good. Okay, good. All right. And you're all members here at Faith? Very good. All right. Well, like I said, I grew up going to church since I was a little boy, actually a baby. And I learned a lot about the Bible. I learned about God. I learned stories from the Bible. But when I was 18, instead of going to college like everyone wanted me to, I went into the military. And I thought maybe I would escape church, escape God, and yet God did not let me escape. I began going to church and bought myself a Bible, and I learned some things about myself, is that in the beginning, of course, God created the heavens and the earth. He created man and woman. And so we'll draw God on this side, and man, when I say man, I will mean man and woman, mankind. And God created man to have perfect fellowship and harmony and union with him. And that was true for a while. They walked in the garden together and they spoke to one another. And God gave them one thing that they were not to do. They had thousands of things they could do. And they chose to do the one thing that God says, do not do that or you will die. And that broke that fellowship. And so the rest of this illustration is to show that now God is on this side. Man is on this side, and there's a huge gap between God and man. This gap is very large. And when they disobeyed God, God called that sin. So that's what creates this gap. So as a young man, I did not understand what sin was. I thought sin was things like murder, and I had never murdered anybody. Things like stealing. I don't think I'd ever stolen from anyone. I tried to obey my parents like you do. You obey your parents, right? No. And tried to be kind to my teachers, things like that. And if somebody had asked me, well, are you a sinner? I probably would have said, well, no. But the Bible says in Isaiah 53:6 that all of us like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has turned to his own way. That means we've all turned away from God, just like Adam did, Adam and Eve. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well, I didn't exactly know what iniquity was. I had believed in Jesus growing up. And Isaiah 53:6 is on man's side. I had believed John 3:16, which I'll put on God's side because it says, you probably know this verse. Does anyone like to quote John 3:16? You probably know that. Or maybe we could all do it together. In English. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life or everlasting life. Very good. So I believed that growing up. Now there's another verse in Isaiah that says that Isaiah 59:1-2 says that our sins have separated us from God. And I didn't realize that the reason I felt separated from God was because of my sin. Because the Bible says that not only are we all like sheep, but Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned. Every single person that's ever lived in the world has sinned against God. Because sin is also things like cheating. It's not only what we do, but it's attitude. So if I hate my brother, I had two brothers, I had two sisters. So when we would fight, that is sin. When I hated them and would fight them or do something bad to them, that's also sin. Or when I disrespected my parents or did not do what they said with a good attitude, that was sin. You want to summarize then so far? Or?
We'll just continue where you are.
Okay.
We'll just continue where you are.
Okay.
So
I
should have speaking of it.
Okay, I'll.
Or, even she should just be interpreting 5 minutes with him.
Yeah.
Just come and sit here so that.
Okay, good. Yeah, you can help him. Yeah. All right. Well, that's another reason I like to draw it, because we hear it and we're going to see it. What this is an illustration is really what the entire Bible is about, is summarized in this illustration. That God created man. God is love. He loves us. He's also holy. Isaiah 55:57-15 says that his name is holy, and he lives in a high and holy place. There is no sin in God. He is perfect. And he cannot fellowship with sin. When the angels rebelled against God, he kicked them out of heaven. When man sinned against God, there was a separation. He told him to leave the garden. So in science, in any engineering, I studied certain natural laws. There's the law of gravity. Everything on the earth is pulled down by gravity. And there are other laws that have to do with aerodynamics, flying. There are laws related to fluids, buoyancy, and floating. And we study those laws to help us live. So these are like spiritual laws. These are truths that we discover. We cannot change the natural physical laws of the universe. All we can do is discover them and try to use them. And we cannot change these laws. These are revealed to us by God in His holy word. So, and the first law on man's side is that all of us have sinned. The second law is that, and I'm going to change colors here. The wages of sin equals something. You said death? You said that? Very good. Correct. He knew the answer. The wages of sin is death. Now, does anyone know where that is in the Bible?
Romans 6:23.
Oh, he caught himself. Okay, yeah. No, you're right. Romans 6:23. Right. Romans. So much of this is not new information to you, but it's always good to review, right? But another verse that says all have sinned is Romans 3:23. Maybe you probably knew that one too. All have sinned and fall short. See, if I were to try to jump across this gap, I would fall short. So we all fall short of God's perfect holiness. The wages, when I work, people pay me my wages. We earn wages. So what I earn from sinning is death. So man has a body, a soul, and a spirit. God has three parts: Father, the Son, and Spirit. Okay, well, He made man in His image. Man has three parts. When man disobeyed God, the spirit died. Adam's spirit died. And every person that's born is born dead. We have a dead spirit. But we also die physically. Our body dies. Let's see. Now, see who can guess this verse. There's a verse that says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes judgment." So the body is going to die someday. All of us, our bodies are going to die. Every person that's ever lived has died, well, except two. You know, which two? Two people that God took from the earth without suffering. Okay, who were the names of the two people that did not die? Yeah. Enon, yes.
Elijah.
And Elijah, okay, yeah, good. Enon and Elijah, they did not die. But everyone else has died, and we're going to die. And after we die, God says there's going to be a judgment. Why is there a judgment? Because I'm a sinner. And God is holy, and God is just. He is a just judge. If I go into court for stealing something from my neighbor, I will stand before the judge, and he will find out whether I'm guilty. And if I'm guilty, he will tell me my punishment, if he is a just judge. But what if I go to the judge and he just lets me go free? Is that justice? That's not justice. Well, God is even more just. He has to punish sin. But because he is a God of love, and the Bible says he is also a God of mercy, mercy. But thou, O Lord, our God, full of mercy, gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. So what's God going to do? He loves us, but he also a just and holy God. So throughout history, man has tried to get across this gap by building his own bridge. So what do you think are some ways that man has tried to build his way back? Okay, hold that thought. That's okay, but asking, okay, so prayer. Yeah, maybe praying for mercy. So that sounds like kind of like a religion, right? So we'll put prayer, but we'll also put man has invented many kinds of religion throughout history from the very beginning of time. Yes. Confession? Okay, so that goes along with prayer and religion. You can't read that. That says religion. Pray, confess. What I was doing as a young boy, I was just trying to be very good. So some people just try to be good to their parents, good to their neighbor. Some people say, I'm going to be moral. I won't do things that are dishonest. I'll be honest and I'll be faithful.
Loving.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I really didn't give very much. I was selfish. That was another way I was sinful. I just didn't know it. But when I went into the military, what I did was justify myself. I looked at men around me who were taking drugs, doing sex, and I said, well, I'm more moral than they are. I'm closer to here than they are. So I fell into the trap of comparing. Well, I may not be perfect, but I'm better than this person. But it doesn't matter, because everyone on this side is going to be judged. Some people think that if they give money to God, God will accept them into heaven. if they tithe or double tithe or triple tithe, that will make God love them more. So here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. Does anyone have a Bible? Want to look that up? Being a Baptist church, I'm sure you've looked at this before. Okay, now since you already have a pen, I'm going to let you give this pen to anyone you want. Who are you going to give? I'd like you to give it away. Good. Only someone here. Good. The Bible, in that verse, and there are many other verses that say the same thing. Titus 3:5, it says, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done. It is by grace that we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. And I had to learn and understand that. It's not by works. You know why? Because we would boast. It says, so that no one can boast. It is a gift of God. Now, I want you to take the pen back. Oh, wait. I thought it was a gift. Or I want the pens. I want all the pens back that I can. Oh, you're very kind. I really don't want. I was just trying to illustrate that if I took them back, it would not be a gift. When God gives you salvation, does he take it back?
No.
He wouldn't, because he says it's a gift. A gift is free. Grace is free. By the very definition of grace, it's undeserved favor. Unmerited, undeserved. No one over here deserves to be saved. There's no one, no matter how good they are or how close they are to the edge, or how far they could jump. They're going down. Let's say this represented 1 mile. And God says, okay, whoever can jump the farthest can jump across. Some people will stumble right here. Some can jump 1 foot, 3 foot, 10 foot. An Olympic long jumper could jump maybe 15, 20 feet. I don't know how what the record is. But no one is going to jump a mile. But this is 1,000,000 miles. Okay, so no one is good enough, no matter how hard we try. So I began to realize that I was going to be judged. And what comes after judgment is Bible says that we're not only judged, but we're held place called hell until the final judgment, and everyone in hell then is going to be tossed into a lake of fire. Well, I wanted to have eternal life. I didn't want to go there. So I began reading the Bible, and I bought a Bible, and I began reading the red letters. See, this Bible has some red letters, and that means it's the words of Christ. So I began reading that as an 18-year-old young man. And, you know, I was not getting drunk, remember, like some of these guys. My mind was still saying, I'm not that bad. But there's a verse that says, Jesus, like a doctor, I did not come to save the righteous people. I came to save sinners. And in Luke 5:31. Okay, so God, before time began, God knew all this was going to happen. And he had a plan in place. That plan was that he has one bridge. He knew that man's bridges would fail, so he built a bridge himself. Before the creation of the world, it says that Christ was to come to the earth that he is the creator. He was born physically, but he existed before that. He created the world. He was with God in the beginning. And it says in Romans 5:8, someone besides these two, anyone know that verse? Can quote it? But God, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated or showed his love toward us in that while... Oh, wait a minute. He died for us? Everybody believe that he died for us? And his death showed God's love. This is the way God showed his love. He died for us, but did he say, I'll die for you when you become good enough? No. Moral enough? Religious enough? Pray enough? No. Now you can give one to your sister. You're the one that That's a kind brother. See, you are kind, but you're not kind enough to earn your way to heaven. Okay? Some people are more kind than others. Some people are more evil. But God says, I'm going to create a way, one way. Jesus said, I am the way, not a way. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one can come back to the Father except through me. And I'm going to do it because, yes, I am holy, I am just, I'm loving. And you say, well, how is that just? I thought I had to die for my sins. Well, Jesus said someone has to die for my sins. So that's why Jesus said, I will die in their place. Jesus took my place. He didn't just die for me. He died instead of me. He was my substitute. So he died... He took the wages that I deserved, those wages. And he took the judgment. Because things are much worse than I presented here. We were hostile. We were hostile. It says we were enemies of God. And God has poured out his wrath. You know what wrath is? It's righteous anger. And that righteous anger that should have gone to me was poured out on Christ. So since the beginning of time, when man, up to 2017, every person that's ever lived, all the sins of the world and the wrath from those sins was poured out upon Christ. First 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bore our sins on the cross. He bore or took our sins. In Isaiah 53, it talks about how he was crushed for our iniquities. He was bruised for our transgressions. The punishment that should have been upon me fell upon him. That's how much Christ loved us. That's how much God loved us to allow his son to do that. So 1 Peter 2:24 is another one. So here's some of the spiritual laws that exist that the Bible talks about, how this story from the Old Testament to the New and beyond, the central character of the whole Bible is Jesus. The Old Testament talked about looking forward to Jesus, and then he came, and the New Testament talks about what's happened after Christ. So the first law is that God is perfectly holy and righteous and just. The second, man is separated from this holy God and can't earn his way back. The third is Christ paid the penalty. And the fourth is, how do we get across? Excuse me? Now I'm right here and I understand he died for me personally, not just for the world, but then I understood when he was on the cross, it occurred to me he was dying for my own sins. But now what do I do? If he died for all the sins of the world, does that mean everyone is saved? No. There's a lot of people over here. The people over here, God says, I want everyone on this side, they will be saved, is one term. Born again is the same term to mean the same thing. They will be children of God. That's what people on this side are back in God's family, the way he intended it. So I'm thinking, well, do I need to do anything? Well, we already found out there's nothing I can do. But I can receive this gift. Just like some of you have received pins, you simply received it. I offered it, but God does not force this gift upon anybody. That would not be loving. It would not be loving for me to force a girl to marry me. That would not be a loving thing to do. So someday you're going to ask someone to marry you, and then you'll get to go up and hear John. He's doing a marriage seminar upstairs. But so when I was almost 19, I said, I really don't even know how to pray. Even though I grew up in a church, I wanted to go to church and find Christ, but my selfish pride held me back. So I went one Sunday and I did not respond to the invitation. I went again, I did not respond to the invitation. I was too proud to admit I was a sinner until I finally realized Christ died for me. And then I ran down the front and just said simply, God help me. I don't even know what to say, but I know I'm a sinner. So in my heart, what I was saying was, I received your gift. Come into my life. And John 1:12 says, but as many as receive him, to those who trust in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. Okay. It's a very simple, anyone in the whole world, no matter you don't have to learn a lot of rules. Do this, don't do that. This is what grace means. It's what the Bible calls the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. This is what God has been working toward most of the Bible. And it is by grace, through faith, But it's not just faith. Some people say, well, I'm saved by faith. No, we're not saved by faith. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. My faith is worthless if it's not in the right thing. You have questions? So by putting my faith in Christ and accepting His grace, I became a child of God. In that very instant, I was born again. This spirit became new again. And His spirit came into my spirit, and I knew something had changed. I felt, sensed forgiveness. My guilt was gone. And He says in John 5:24 that he who hears my word, Jesus is speaking, he who hears my word and believes Him who sent me, that is God the Father, sent Christ the Son, has three things. One, He has eternal life. So I believe that, and I has eternal life is present tense. I have it right now. As soon as I accept Him, I have eternal life. If I had died on this side, I would have gone to hell. The moment I put my trust in Him, if something had happened to me and I had died, I would go to heaven to have eternal life. The second thing it says He will not come into condemnation. Condemnation is gone or removed. So God's canceling these. He took my death and gave me life. And He took my judgment and says, I will never condemn you. Never. My love for you is permanent. There's words in various verses I could show you if we had another hour or two that shows that this salvation is permanent. You cannot lose it. That is, go back on this side. And the third thing He says has happened is passed over from death to life. That is, I've been transported, if you will, from a position of being dead to a position of having life. Now, there are other verses that say something like 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. I became a brand new creature. The old things have passed away. Okay, because I've passed away from here, and everything has been made new. And so, in the next hour, I think we come back tomorrow night, there's another illustration that shows what we should be doing as a Christian on this side. But in the last few minutes, I'd like for you to prayerfully consider. I shared a little bit about when I crossed over this bridge. And what I like to do when I'm sharing this with someone is ask them, where would you draw yourself, if I gave you the marker, where would you put yourself on this picture? So if I ask everybody to walk up here, and we don't have time to do that, but do you have a question or a comment? Yeah. Go ahead. Okay, you would put yourself over here. Very good. And I pray that all of you could, or if you cannot, the next question would be, if you can't, would you like to be on this side? So when you're sharing your faith, those of you who are Christians, this is a good tool to learn to share with your friends. Is first, where are you? And secondly, if they say, well, I'm here, maybe I'm here, maybe I'm right here. If they say they're anywhere in between, usually that means they're on this side. So you ask them, would you like to know for sure that you're on this side? And hopefully they'll, oh yes, your sister, you can share this with your brothers and sisters, your parents, and say, would you like to know how you can get to this side? Then you share the story. It's all in the Bible. We looked at the scriptures, and if they say, well, I'm not sure, or I want to know more, then you say, well, would you like to read the Gospel of John together, and we'll look at this in more detail. We can stop and look up at these verses if they're wondering if these verses are true. If they're on this side and say, no, I'm not ready, then I might say, well, what is holding you back? And we could talk about that. Well, they might say, I'm not that bad. Well, we talked about that. All of us are bad. Some people might say, well, I'm too bad. I'm way over here on this scale. And then I say, well, no, Jesus said he came to save the sinners. All those sins, there is no sin so bad that Jesus did not pay for it. So you help them understand the cross, the death of Christ. Now he died, but he also rose from the dead, right? I mean, I didn't say that. But he paid for our sins through his death, and he rose again to show that God received that sacrifice. And no longer would you need the blood of bulls and goats, because this became the once and for all sacrifice for all sin. And that's why it's sufficient. And then if you would like to pray to receive Christ, I will pray a prayer. And if even right now somebody is not sure, if you would pray after me, you could do this tonight. This is the most important decision a person will ever make in their entire. That's why I'm sharing this first. The second most important decision a person makes in their life is who they will marry. Because I believe the Bible teaches that marriage is for life. We marry one person for life. So it's a very important decision. But this is even more important. So I'm going to ask that we bow, and I will pray a prayer, and if you want to pray that in your heart after me, then feel free to do so. And afterward, I would like for you to tell someone here at your church that you trust. If you want to tell me, that's fine, or the pastor, or are you one of the youth leader or something? You can talk to him. So let me bow your head. Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. And I believe that Jesus died for my sins. That he died on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day, so that I might have eternal life. I know I don't deserve it, but I now receive this gift and ask you into my heart. And I want to turn from living for myself to living for you. I thank you now for giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. So if somebody says, well, yeah, I just prayed that, then I say, congratulations. Welcome into the family of God. You are now a child of God. You are no longer under judgment or death. There's a whole new series of spiritual laws that you must learn in order to grow, and that's called living as a disciple. But for now, we have about 10 minutes. We need to be back up at 6:45 in about 10 minutes. So we have a few minutes. If there are any questions or comments, or would anyone like to say anything? Any questions? You have been very attentive, very good answers to the question. Yes, go ahead. Well, 3 days ago, I did a two-hour teaching on that, so I can't tell you everything I shared in those 2 hours, other than I have been a Christian for the last 44 years, and I've been in Bible studies ever since, to some degree or another. I've talked to many Bible teachers, Bible scholars, and studied some of the words in the Bible that. But just last night, just for example, if we turn to the. Well, first we'll turn to Romans 3. Romans 3:26. It's just one example to show that. But while you're turning to Romans 3:26, I will ask this question: once a person is born into the world physically, can you be unborn? Can you go backwards? What do you think? Can you be unborn? Can a baby go back into the womb or a grown-up? Well, no, it's impossible. The Bible says that we have been born. This is a spiritual birth. Your spirit is now made alive. It cannot be reversed. Okay? And so what most people do is say, but what if I do this or do this? It doesn't matter. God has already paid for all your sins. Even the sins that you're going to commit tomorrow. Because here's the cross. I said all the sins both before Christ and after Christ, he took on the cross. Now here's my life way down here, and here are my sins. All of those sins were in the future at the time Jesus died for them, including the sins that my sin tomorrow or were in the future, the sins from 10 years ago. So if all of those sins were paid for, there's not any one sin that I can commit on this side that's going to send me back. It's a one-way bridge. And Jesus said that there is nothing in all of creation that can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Well, nothing means nothing. Nothing can separate me from this love once you have become his child. Now, my son or my daughter could decide to rebel against me or hate me, but they cannot ever be not be my son or daughter. So let's read Romans 3 before we run out of time. We'll start back at verse 23 because we read that. We didn't write it down, but all have sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. There's the idea of Ephesians again. Now the word justify is a legal term, and it's a once and for all term. It's back in the courtroom again. The judge, if he found me innocent, he says, you are now justified. I declare you not guilty. I declare you innocent. I declare you righteous from this charge. Well, I'm charged with being a sinner, but Christ took that. He is my substitute. So he said, he became sin in my place, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for me. So Christ is righteous on this side, and I'm a sinner. So he took a step and said, he's going to take my place. But beyond that, he said, now you take his place. So he put me over here and gave me his righteousness. And the judge looks at Christ and it says, oh, I declare you righteous. So it's a legal declaration that God makes as the judge. He declares me righteous. That's justification. Living the Christian life after this is called sanctification. That's when he makes me righteous. So we become more righteous, but from this point on, he has declared that I am righteous, just as righteous as Jesus Christ, just as if I had never even sinned. That's what the word justification is captured in that word. That's a powerful word, and that word is used multiple times in the Bible. It's a beautiful picture. That's why Christianity, there is no religion in the world like Christianity. No other religion has a Savior who said he came from heaven to die for me. They may have prophets and teachers. None of them has someone who loves sinners. Not even Islam. Islam says he loves those who are righteous. Islam, Mormonism, Jehovah, they're all based upon working, striving, earning. It's not a gift. Only Christ offers a gift. So let me read further here. So it's and we're justified by his grace. It's a gift that he will not take back, or it's not a gift. If he took it back, he would be a liar, and his word would be wrong. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So redemption is another powerful word. It means he bought us. He bought and paid for us with his blood. So we're already bought and paid for. We're over here. We're a child of God. He adopted us into his family. So there's nothing that else needs to be paid. And it says, whom God put forward as a propitiation. Okay, that's another big long word that means God is now satisfied. His wrath is satisfied. That's what that word means. If it's totally satisfied, there's nothing I can do to make it unsatisfied. These are some of the deeper doctrines of the New Testament that it's good to study. We're propitiation by his blood. Well, if it's by his blood, then I can't change that. His blood has already been spilled. So nothing I can do. I can't even spill my own blood. My blood is sinful. There's nothing I can do to make me love God more. To make God love me more or less. Yep, do you believe that? He already loved me while I was a sinner. So he's already loved me so much as a sinner that he died for me. Now that I'm his child, he still loves me. But he doesn't love me anymore. What we do on this side, I'll show you tomorrow night, is how we love God. Okay, so by his blood to be received by faith, to show God's righteousness. Okay, so there are many more truths and scriptures like that that we need to study week after week after week. And I could line them up 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 scriptures that show why you cannot lose this salvation. It is called a great salvation because it can't be lost. And there's nothing else like it. That's why it's totally unique from every other religion. All other religions, you have to do something. In Christianity, Christ has done everything. That's why he's worth living for. And calling him Lord. And it's why it's worth sharing with the world. And it's why I came thousands of miles here when I didn't have to. But let me close this tape here and just pray again. If anyone prayed that prayer, let someone know. And I pray God would bless this time in Jesus' name.